Thank you. So it's going to be a quite different seminar than usually. It's going to be like yesterday. So don't worry, you will have time to speak at the end of my seminar. So I'm going to introduce the problems we have from the observational point of view, and then I will sit down and you will all discuss and solve the problems. So I count on these people here. So of course, Mark, I am sure that he's going to say something, Victor, because he wants to talk this morning. So it's going to be fun. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about two different problems that in a few stars seems to be related. And now, well, when I arrived here, I thought it was related. And then after a month of discussion with many of you, I think now they are not, which is stars that have been analyzed in the working group 1 and 8 of Kepler and seems to be a very fast rotator in the surface, and stars in which we simply do not see a clear ridge of the L equal 1 modes. They are there, but the amplitude ratios or the visibility that we were expecting is something like a factor of 40 to 60 times less than what it was expecting, and we don't know exactly what happened. So just a few words about the methodology I am following. That's a star in which we have some images, which is quite rare right now. So it's a sun. And this is an image taken from, I think it's MDI, I don't remember, during the solar maximum activity. And if we use the blue Virgo channel, we see clearly the spots going or developing in the surface. And if we compute the power spectrum of this thing, we will see there are two peaks, one which is at 26, 27 days, and the second harmonic, which is at 30, which is the maximum in the case of the sun. But if we go to minimum activity, then we don't see anything at all. So someone talked me or asked me yesterday what was the Virgo light curves look like in minimum activity. It looks like that. So nothing at all during this example, more than 100 days. And it longs in the last solar minimum something around 4 or 5 months without any kind of signature in the light curve. So of course, we pick up one of these stars, active stars, in a minimum activity. Of course, we will not see anything with this methodology. As you can see, the power spectrum, of course, doesn't show anything in the same scale than before. Just if someone have any idea. That's not the case in the Kepler sample. So these are some stars during the survey phase of the working group 1. So we have clear stars spinning about 4 days and then going to more longer periods until something that could be either flat or longer than a month. That's only 1 month data set. Then if we go to the red giant group, we have today more than 600 days. This is top at 500. And of course, the first thing that we can see is that we have the beautiful, probably aging of the CCDs. So this is the first CCD going here. It's going down. If you remove this thing, you have a beautiful modulation of about 60 days in this star. Problem is that if we take another star starting in the same module, you have exactly the same modulation.
No, that means
it's not probably
nature.
Yeah, exactly. I will have many. So indeed, that's the problem of Kepler for periods about 50, 60 days until 90, 100, something like that, is because we have a beautiful modulation depending on the module in which we are. That's probably something to be with the thermal stuff. Indeed, if we do an average, if we remove all the stars that are clearly variables in our sample, you see that you have something which is quite common for all of them. This is simply the average normalized. So that's the Kepler stuff. Of course, this is done with only 60 stars.
We cannot do it better
because we don't have so many stars. And this is what is the basis of what the people at NASA GEO is now doing with the co-trending vector. So if they are doing this, but with 2,000 stars instead of 60. So they are doing better than us.
Well, but that's important because this is an interesting period range for rotation studies. You'd actually like to be able to recover real periods in this range.
So what I'm going to show is done with these homemade way of trending the Kepler data, just waiting for the vectors that were released a few months ago, and now we have to redo all the work. And this is why you will see that there is a hole in periods about 60, 70, because we still don't be sure of what was here. What I'm going to show is just those in which we are really, really sure that there were something, and also concentrating the fast rotators, because they are the most amazing ones. So that's an example. So you have the modulation as before, and then with this homemade thing, it's more or less flat. Okay, well, that's said. So that's in the case of the red giant stars, that's mass. That's the NUMAX, so evolution. The size is the size of the radius, and then you have the periods there. So ranging, that's around, the red ones are below 10 days rotation, up to 150, something like that. And the colors that you will not see is all of these ones, because we remove them, as I said. So the next few slides, I will show these two little stars there, because they are very, very interesting. So they are subgiants in the RGB, as you will see later. That's a plot I did.
Thanks to Francois,
who gave me a little scaling law to compute the breakup velocity from the periods and the characteristic of the star. And these two guys here have a breakup velocity measured in the surface of about 30%, 25, 30%. If we look in temperature, we will see that they are range in the region about the RGB. And this other guy, I will not talk about him. It's a monster. It's a 40 radii, 2.5 masses, which is clearly helium burning, and it's spinning about something like 30% of the breakup velocity. And spectroscopy or preliminary analysis of the spectroscopy show that this is something peculiar going on. So it's everything under analysis, so I will not take it. It's too complicated. So let's go to the easier ones. So the one I showed before is this guy. That's the Tasmanian monster. So as I said before, we can see clearly the orbital period in the light curve. So that's the two light curves. You see clearly a modulation there. So this one, it's 4.8 days. The other one is 6.2 days. These objects are 1.4 solar masses and around 6 solar radii. And you can see just by doing wavelets, that you have a clear rotation period, nothing else around. And the confidence level is something like 99.999, whatever. So they are there. I mean, the surface is rotating. There are magnetic field, because we can see the spots going around. And if you are not really sure about, that's a zoom in this range of the light curve. So you have the light curve, and then just two sinusoidal sine waves with slightly the same period. And indeed, what you are observing here is the beating between the two periods. This has been done by Benoit Moser, who did some spot modeling, and it corresponds with what we expect or what we know from the sun and the other stars in which we have done the spot modeling. So there are spots in these stars, and they behave like that. So once we are more or less sure that or convinced that the surface of these stars are spinning so fast, the question is, what happened to the inside? So the first point is that if we assume that the interior is spinning at 20 or 30% of the breakup velocity, we will have not only an effect on the splittings, but also, due to the structural changes, we will see the frequencies of the modes changing position. So that's a simulation coming from Francois, in which you have the modes normally, 0, 2, 1, 0, 2, 1, and that's without any, including any velocity in the model. It's a polytrope of order 3, I think.
Yeah. Index.
Three, yeah. And then we start to increase the velocity. That is 10%, 20%.
Yeah, you should
be
put it right there, but it's 18%.
Okay. So the thing
one is 18%, then 40%, and then 60%.
Okay. So the idea here is just you see the n equal 2, that's n equal 0 components only, and you see how they move from the equilibrium, let's say mostly equilibrium position towards even crossing the equal one and going to the left. So if interior of the stars is spinning so fast, then we should see changes in the position of the modes. Okay.
What happens to the other end?
They are going to move something like that, so it's going to do something like that.
It's going to be the different ends that shift at the same rate.
Yeah. The point I didn't say, because it was going to be said after, is that this star seems to be in a 8 degrees inclination angle. So we don't care too much on them. This is why I didn't put them. Yeah. So once again, just to remember, we are going to look at these two. And then we have many other stars around. And I will take one, this one, as a reference to check how the spectrum is. So that's a reference star. So you have beautiful 02s, all the bunch of L equal 1 and all the mixed modes, L equal 3. 2s, 02, 1s, more difficult, probably the 3 is there. 3 is here, 1, 02, and so on. So then, now the first Tasmanian monster. Okay? First of all, the 0 and the 2s are perfectly at the same place. Okay? So there are no structural changes in the star. So the inside is not spinning, or we can put an upper limit of the velocity in the interior. That is the second one. 02s are exactly in the same place. So it's not spinning fast. Inter or not so fast. Okay? Well, you can assume that maybe there is a splitting here. Why not? But if this is the splitting, the interior is spinning something like less than some. But
well. How well can you map the changes you see in this polytrope to a structure like this, which is very different, right, from the chain?
Francois?
you're right, so it's not completely sure that this is a polytrope for the giant. You have a strong effect of rotation at such. But we've done for polytropic N equal 3, also for more realistic model by Jackson et al., which have been computed by Daniel Ries, which he has shown also at the conference. And in all the cases we have considered so far, at 20% of the record velocity, you already see that the small difference is not small. Yeah. Yeah. So, we have to, we are creating, we plan to have a better model of red giants by the polytrop, because we need polytrops, because it's quite difficult to deform the deform. But I don't see reason for the moment. It's just a little bit concentrated than N equal 3, and in general, when it's more concentrated, we have a bigger effect. So,
because we have the convex pendulum. Mm-hmm. So the structure of these stars are basically the structure of index 1.5.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, the second point is that I suppose it could be that just like in the case of our slow rotation, that the outer layers dominates the effects of the rotation. So what you're saying is that you, whatever is rotating fast, has to be very thin reading in terms of surface.
It depends on what effect you are looking at. If, for example, you are looking at the advection effect,
yes,
which will do the m omega,
yeah,
then you're right.
Ah, okay.
If you are considering the deformation effect,
ah, yeah,
then it's different.
Of course.
Because only this layer.
Yeah, because a prior that you'd expect from this that kind of goes with everything we know about the rotational behavior is that the rotation rates are like this. I postulate a very pretty uniformly rotating convective envelope.
Yeah.
So it would actually be really, really stunning. You practically have to have another star embedded in the envelope that hadn't dissolved yet to do otherwise. So the question is, what's the core doing? Is the core spinning fast or not?
From the opinions point of view, whatever happens in the core must be policy relevant, because that's a small extent. So it's really the abatements must come from your system.
So, for example, yes, if all the conductive layer is rotating at the surface level, I would be very surprised. I don't understand how we can get this spectrum.
Mm. How luminous is the object? What is the luminosity?
One is 8 point something, the other one is 10 point something, and the last one is 11 point something.
So they're lower ranges. The lower RGB stars.
Yeah. Well, the two of them, the third one is far away. The one which is 40 solar radii is not an RGB star.
I'm not sure that we really know that if the rotation is faster, all the convective angle will be.
I'm applying two different priors here. One of them is we actually do have pretty good Doppler imaging studies of rapid rotators on the main sequence, and they tend to be strikingly uniform in rotation. And the second is that since these things have a substantially longer convective overturn time scale,
so the Doppler imaging gives you only
the surface. The point is the surface latitudinal rotation, and the other is that you have a much shorter convective overturn time scale, or longer rather convective overturn time scale, which generically makes these things much, much more magnetically active. And that combination, which is basically low weak convection, strong rotation, doesn't, you know, the theory could be mistaken, but the theoretical expectation would be that the convective part, which is about 0.7 solar radii out in this case, should be pretty uniform.
I would say that there are some evidence of what you said for M dwarfs,
yeah.
But not for this star. Yeah. The magnetic field is much lower. For M dwarfs, we know that it's a big dipole of 1 kilogauss, and then much more energy at the small scale magnetic field. So they really have a very, very strong magnetic field that can produce the solid body rotation. I don't know if we can say the same thing for Giants, where this type of magnetic field has not been found yet. Is there extra energy in the star?
It'd be interesting to check the all-sky surveys. It may have been that this star, you could actually set a bomb from ROSAN on imaging. I don't know if anybody's looked at that. There's been some all-sky X-ray surveys, and I definitely think that a Chandra or XMM proposal for this object is very well motivated, for example.
We have a
observed by
Narvaez is going to observe it soon, that one. But the problem is, if we believe the VA sinusoid we have and the rotation we have, the inclination angle is 8 degrees, so probably Narvaez have problems to have with this low angle.
It'll still be X-ray bright. It'll be X-ray bright, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for this, yes, but I mean for the Narvaez observation. So I will try to convince even more than apart from the equal ones that, of course, you have seen that they are not in the standard. Well, in reality, they are. So that's the same plot, but in log linear. That's the band, the equal one, that if you have any doubts, that's the equal 3. Mm-hmm. 0 and 2. So concentrate on this region. And you have the 0, the 2. The little one, it's the ratio of amplitude. I have to say that this one should be at the same level of the 0.
And you have the 3.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty normal. And then once again, the other one, which is 0, 2, the 1s, the 3, 0, 2, 1, and so on. So, and they are exactly in the same position that you expect, even the 3. Mm-hmm. So, normally, we should have expect something if the interior is spinning so fast.
But where would be the 4?
Hmm?
Where would be the L equal 4?
Oh.
0, 2, it's... in the middle of the somewhere. Three,
I think it's probably most with one of the.
Is that the small peak you were pointing at?
I am not pointing to any peak.
Oh, yes, you did.
I point to the region. I pointed to the region in which I suppose a peak should be. Yeah, one thing is that you can maybe measure a hint of an L equal 4, another thing is to do science with the L equal 4 frequencies, which is another different thing, but yeah, it should be somewhere there.
Which is very important, is that if the star is not seen for long, nearly for long, then with a rapidly rotating star, we have many possibilities to match this type of spectrum.
Correctly, we could do that. But if the star is simpler, the
spectra is much simpler also for rapidly rotating stars. So that's why it's easier to make a significant conclusion for this star. How did you get the inclination? Because we have the surface rotation, we have the Bayesian psi of 9, and then we can infer what is the I from that measurement. But we are waiting for a new measurement of this new psi.
And you would expect to see a certain modulation even when you see the star orbits go down.
If it's in the
equator, yes.
If the active latitudes are higher up, yeah, then you don't see anything, sure, because yes, you are always looking to it. Yeah. If it's something in the equator and it's slightly inclined, yeah, and it's fast, then you should see something. So we assume this configuration.
What is interesting is that it means that if all this is true, the rotation rate that is inferred is equatorial rotation rate.
Yeah, that's it. That's a point. We don't know anything about the latitudinal difference. And in the power spectrum, you have a very thin peak. Thin, not a big one. So that means that if there is something, it's probably just an homogeneous rotation period.
Yeah,
but it also depends on the angle. So.
Which is what you'd expect from the surface differential rotation.
Yeah. Exactly. So at least this part seems to be coherent. But we are waiting that people in Ohio do some a little bit of work. Yeah.
Slackers.
I didn't say it. Just pointing that. So observation has been done in the KEK.
There's KEK data on all these rapid rotations.
So we are waiting that.
Do you see rotational splitting of the electron?
Well, no. I mean, with the signal-to-noise ratio we have, no. But even the two, if you have a look to the width of the two compared to the width of the one, you don't see anything. So that put also a boundary on what we are observing. But once again, if you are an 80 degrees, then you have a big m equals zero and two tiny things in the borders. And we need to fit and do all the. But
it's going to be even hard to be convinced ourselves.
So I want to do simple things. And of course, if it's once again 20-30% of the breakup velocity in the interior, you should see some changes, but we seems not to be the case. So, that was the thing on the angle. So that's the one that has no has a measured already vision side. So if I move now on the topic of these stars that don't have, to see a small L equal 1 visibility, it's not only these two. I mean, that's a paper published by Benoit and collaborators. So that's the visibility of the L equal 1 compared to the L equal 0. That's NUMAX. And you see all the black dots, squares there, are the stars in which we have measured a low reach amplitudes in the L equal 1. So it's something that goes like that and then stops around here. From there you have a scatter, but nothing following like a line here. Our two objects are that one and this one. And you also have here, that's the expected theoretical visibility of the modes, and indeed what you measure is something which is below this line. Not too much, but below. So, that's good because the theoreticians need to readjust the theory.
Do you have something showing the distribution of masses for these two bridges?
Yes. I was expecting that one for once. So that's a massive. So it seems, once again, that we are all the distribution of masses are concentrated here. Well, you have smaller masses, but you don't have smaller visibilities in that region.
That's an important clue that it's rotation.
And also, I put effective temperatures there, this here, but it's also concentrated in a region of effective temperatures.
Because the point is that anything to the right of about 1.3 or so, which is a star which could have been spinning fast on the main sequence. They don't have to be, but they could be.
Mm.
Anything below 1.3 would not be spinning fast on the main sequence. And so the fact that that only shows up on the right is actually really important.
The thing also is that that's evolution with time. And then it follows something like that. Even we in the paper, we have fitted this law here. So it seems to follow something with evolution, whatever it's going. So I want to point out then that we have another three stars in which we have this thing, which are placed, if I continue this axis here, it's going to be here, here, and there. It's now it's working group one data. And these are the highest NUMAX in which we have seen this problem. And in this case, you really don't see anything. So if you follow the scatter we see before, it's going to be far down. I couldn't put it in the same figure. So that's the log linear plot. The blue one is the main, mostly main sequence starting to be subgiant star. And the black one is one of the one I showed before. So once again, the 0 and the 2, well, the small separation is smaller because we are in a evolution state before, it's younger. And then you don't have anything here. You have the bump of the L equal 1 before, nothing. So there are a tiny thing, much smaller.
So did you compare that star
with the one
before?
No, it's not normal. No, it's the one I showed before.
But I'm asking whether you have compared this star with
it's
a normal subject and the same kind of new max.
0, 2s are perfectly normal. I don't see 3s for that one.
Okay.
But the L equal 1 reach is not there.
And then you have another star where the L equal 1 grows.
Yeah, sure. We have.
There's nothing to distinguish.
No, and this one is the rotation rate that can infer from the surface is nothing because I cannot infer anything. So I don't know.
Okay.
Or there are no magnetic fields.
Probably
slow because once again the width of the L equal 2 seems to be
probably
equal
one.
To the L equal 0. Or it's
sure.
So once again we have this uncertainty that we cannot leave. But now it's where things start to be fun. It's the same star.
But then I go to upper
to higher frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So no L equal 1, no L equal 1, maybe something bigger. Normal L equal 1, normal L equal 1, normal L equal 1, normal L equal 1. So now I look to Masao because. So that is what we were looking for the other day. So if we believe that what's happening here is that the lamp frequency is too low and somehow mixed with the Brunn-Weissala frequency and the coupling for this mode is so perfectly done that the inertia is so big that we don't have a high amplitude
in the surface, you would expect that
away this range in which this happening, you should have to start to see normal modes. Well, it seems to be the case, but I have a problem with this guy here. Because this guy should be an L equal 3, but look
at the amplitude. If I
say that this is an L equal 3, some people are going to kill me. So I don't know. But that's the highest NUMAX star in which we have seen this effect. But we have the size we have is much less. Yeah. So I have tried to summarize where we are on our thoughts about all the discussion we have been taking here. So for the missing L equal 1 is what I said. So if it's something related with the coupling between the cavity of the P and the cavity of the G, and then something happens in these stars, but in such, if this is the case, why for a given set of masses, temperatures, and also following a different trade or line for evolution, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing, why it's proportional to NUMAX. And also, why we have this normal or quite normal reach of the L equal ones for this particular star and not for the other ones. The other ones doesn't seem to be the case, but maybe because we have a smaller range of modes visible. It's the other ones are giant, so the number of orders that we can measure is smaller. Maybe it can be an explanation. For the high surface rotation, so we have a problem because these two stars cannot follow a normal single star evolution, because in that case in the main sequence there would have been rotating or spinning faster than the breakup velocity. So there should be the result of a merging. And if this is the case, can we constrain the second object somehow? And when does it happen? And I put here some of the ongoing observations that are being scheduled for these two stars. So this has already been done. This is expected. I forgot to put the X-ray thing. And then it's my last question. And then I just say thanks, and I open to all discussions and ideas, because we don't have too much more than what I have said.
Thanks. Maybe go back to your previous slide so that we can come up with some solutions. Anybody with an idea? Just a naive remark, if you go to higher frequency, you feel less the rotation. Isn't that normal?
Sorry, when you go to high frequency?
You have higher frequencies, then the modes care less about the rotation frequency. So it should, it's normal that you go to a more, to a better detection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't.
No. Don't the amplitudes of the.
I don't know what effect of rotation you are talking about, but if it's the effect of the deformation, it's stronger, higher.
But is this the deformation that?
It's centrifugal and distortion that causes.
Yes.
So I don't know of which rotation effect you are speaking to. You are speaking about to say that.
I'm not speaking about deformation.
Okay. What is
why do you think that this is all caused by deformation? It's only 20% breakup.
No, for the equal.
We have done a simulation which shows that
it's
yeah,
no.
This level of rotation
The problem of the equal one bridge seems to happen in the well, the two that spin fast, but also in others that we cannot say anything about rotation.
I think my first reaction here is that you badly need to understand what the distribution of underlying rotation rates looks like compared to the distribution of rotation rates with seismic. Because the first thing you'd like to be able to know is you'd like to be able to know are what are you actually sampling? Okay, because if, for example, let's say that rapid rotation just prevents you from seeing oscillations at all, that was the point of Bill's earlier paper, right? Then there's going to be a subset that you just won't be accessible to you because they won't be in your seismic sampling. And there may also be something that has to do with inclination angle. Right, you may only be able to see rapid rotators at certain inclination angles, and not others.
Yeah, but that's a problem, because here you have 1,300 stars, and you only have something like 50 in this range, and you expect to have much more inclined stars than 50.
No, but you're catching the inclination. The point is, you also have to fold this in with the distribution of initial rotation rates. Okay. So
it's a subsample of a subsample.
Sorry, it's a subsample of subsample is the point. That'd be extremely helpful for understanding the nature of this, is to say, what do the rotation rates look like?
Yeah, but I have a problem with explanation on the rotation, because in that case, I would have a, in my understanding thing, I should have a broad range of rotation rates, even in the main sequence.
Yeah.
And then when I go through the evolution, I should have fulfilled all of this region here. Because the distribution of rotation is more or less continuous in the main sequence, more or less in a given range. So if this is coming only for rotation, then why I see a clear line and not a spread?
That's why
only from the inclination angle.
Yeah.
If it's coming, I agree with you, but you have to say if it's coming only from the inclination angle, it shouldn't be separated from the rest.
So
that's why it'd be useful to understand. What does the distribution of rotation look like? Not in the seismic sample, in the field.
Do we know these rapid rotators are not in binaries?
Spectroscopic measurements done quite fast seems to show that at least one, it's a normal thing without any signatures of binary or binarity now.
And so we're going to check for RV variations.
The inclination is low, though, we'll be starting by that.
If it's a close binary, if it's a distant binary.
And they're too small to be common envelopes.
Yeah, the noise is
So what I will say does not concern the effect of the L equal 1, but just the two which are relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the spectroscopy only for one?
Only for one for the moment.
We have it seems that it seems nearly alone.
Yeah.
But I expect that the other one will not be seen nearly alone. And then you should be able to model a little bit the effect of the M splitting.
Mm.
Because then you should be this different, should see this different M value. And if really the rotation rate is only important in the surface, just near the surface, then you should be able to see it. Because it's something which is easy to model, not the effect of the abduction by the differential rotation.
That's why.
That should give clue on the.
Yeah, I don't want to put.
That there is a strong differential rotation between the surface and.
I don't want to put pressure to anyone, but it's key to have the spectroscopic data analyzed soon.
Yeah. We're working.
Rafa, how can you have an error of 0.5 kilometers per second when you don't know turtles to the level of 2?
That's why this has been done quite fast, not by the group of Mark. And it's why I quoted this. Somehow, it's exactly what it was sent in a mail in a rush saying, that is what in a preliminary analysis I can obtain. So put whatever, if you want a 3, anyway.
Yeah, but then you end up with an inclination range that is from 0 to 30 degrees.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. In any case, it's low. But I will not repeat myself, so just wait for the spectroscopic analysis.
And the other thing we're looking for is things like lithium.
Rafael didn't say anything about the shift of the N equals 2, what you showed at the beginning.
Yeah.
From the quantum view, what would be the impact on
your PSDs? Well, I would expect that if this is the problem, if I have a interior spinning fast, this guy here should have moved somewhere. And for a while, we even thought about that this guy was the L equal 2, and this was the L equal 1, and this was the other component of the L equal 1. But in that case, it's what is the probability to have two stars with different rotation rates, I suppose, having exactly the same modes at the same place than a normal star than here. So what is the probability that my L equal 2 goes exactly to the position of the L equal 1, the plus or minus component goes exactly to the position of the L equal 2 M equals 0 and L equal 3 M equals 0, and this for two stars.
But Rafa, observers would say that 60% of the stars are binaries. So you have 60% of your stars which are binaries, so this
long term, period. Talking about probability, so it is not, I don't see a point. Maybe it's coincidence, but no, it's about 10%
should be close, period, most
thing here.
Yeah, yes, but I mean that talking about probability, so.
I love the Occam razor's proverb that say the easiest is normally the good. So the easiest is that these modes are where they are. And also, we still have a problem because, we don't have a problem. The amplitude ratio of this guy to this guy, well, not this one because it's particularly excited, but this ratio here is what you expect from a 0-2, a normal 0-2. So once again, that goes towards the idea that this is a 0-2 normal. So
in that case, do you find any case similar to the theoretical case shown by the...
Unfortunately, no. Because if not, it would have been already a Nature paper somewhere. So no, we have things spinning fast and.
That for us is the fact that it's high P mode, high frequency P modes, that it's seen nearly follow is really the best case to test
rotation.
So the fact that we don't see anything, it's very.
Disappointing.
When we say it's not possible, we have still to make a more realistic calculation. For the moment, my guess is that really we should see something because the stars were taking fast.
I have to point out just another thing. This is a hand waving thing because we don't really know today what's going on clearly in this star. So the idea of this seminar was to explain that we don't know too much and then have inputs to continue from here. So we don't have all the answers to all the questions.
So you
said that the L2 should move the way.
Yeah, well,
faster.
Yeah.
But what do you mean by the interior and how deep is it? Is it those modes, even the L1 or L2, they have a trap mode, I guess, so they have mode behavior. So
the answer with the hands again is in the cavity in which these modes evaluate, let's say, should spin in average much faster than, much faster than 15% the breakup velocity to start to see. It's mostly towards the envelope, but then I need Victor to compute some models for knowing something, and he has been quite busy.
That'd actually be really enlightening.
Yeah. It's on the way.
You should see the affective effect on the different
edge modes. It's in your to-do list.
And here we know that the star, if the star is really simple or wrong, you don't see the different ends, so you cannot use that. But for the other star, we don't see much rotational splitting, and it's not probable, but we do have the answer probably that it's seen also that it is seen also prolonged. So in principle, at this rotation rate, we should see quite evident splitting.
If I don't have any knowledge about the,
it's still it still goes to with the fact that the rotation is stronger just at the surface, and here we can, with the kernel, we can have a very good. But this could be done if we show that this star is not simple.
My bet is going to be something about 30 degrees, unfortunately, because if you assume 30 degrees. This could be the splitting, so plus or minus 1, the M0, and then you should have the M plus or minus 2 around, but very small. Then you have also, once again, what seems to be the splitting. All of these guys are more or less at the same distance. So in a normal observation point of view, without knowing anything about the surface rotation, I would directly say that's a splitting. We need to do the fittings and so on and so forth, but that seems to be...
You will conclude that you have a very strong differential rotation between the surface and
How
can you sustain such a
time of rotation? I mean, for one thing, there's dynamical instabilities.
You need an object falling down
that prevent strong increases in rotation as a function of radius. So there are bounds that you can set from interiors theory on the radial. Particularly if it increases outward, it's actually more stringent than it increases inwards.
But
in any
case, the convection shows you have.
Yeah.
Efficient angle range transports.
Once again, this should be a merger anyway. I mean, if we believe the surface rotation, the only way to spin up the surface to this speed is by another object falling down or by any magical thing like the alien flash.
But you just said that the object is rotating rapidly on this surface.
Yes.
That is a skin effect. And I'm still afraid that agrees too good with asymptotic, because if you have a large angular velocity gradient near the surface, the frequencies will be significant per tool. It's not that the picture is just so simple, and this does not agree with we expect.
Well, no, there is a simple, very simple idea, which is just a big Jupiter or something like that falling down right now to the star. What is the probability? Ridiculous, but or an object that just when the star is going, expanding, just ate the hot Jupiter that was there or something like that, and then it destroyed in the
atmosphere. Expect that Jupiter will sunk immediately to the interior. That if this is real effect, if it is the gradient of angular velocity is that high. This has to have some
very complicated hydrodynamical picture that would maintain such a rapid rotation in the surface.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the position of a theoretical point of view. The observational point of view says you have a very simple picture, which is the rotation is fast, the interior is not. Full stop. I cannot explain it. Well, it's what I see.
If it's hot Jupiter, which is just being engulfed in the star, then what we see apparently is not really the rotation rate at all surface, it's the rotation rate near the equator. So we don't really, this is the only thing we have. So for some time, the region that will be spin up will be only a small layer near the surface. Then convective patterning, we will convective transport, we can transport this, but...
But convective overturning is orders of magnitude faster than whatever dynamic measure you want to invoke. I mean,
no, I don't think so.
Yes. I mean, look, you only
it's spinning at less than a day or something like that, spinning at a break of velocity.
It's 4 days.
If the star is engulfed, it's spinning very fast at the break of what we call the break of velocity. So it's in three.
Six days. And days. One point here, it's important, is that you don't have a simple sinusoidal thing going. There are things with slightly different frequency, and this is what produced the beating that you see in the light curve. So it's more likely to be like spots or shortly things that evaluate in the surface. It's not just one object.
No, but I don't see that we see the object here.
No. I know.
Yeah,
but I'm just adding something else.
If the other advantage of what happens if you engulf anything in your surface layers of red giant. Could be a Jupiter, it could be a neutron star, it could be a black hole,
no,
it could be a ball of white
matter. No, because if it's a very dense object, at least with the hand-waving theory again, after discussion with Mark, you would expect that if this is a very dense object, it will go towards the interior and dissolve in the interior. And producing, by all of these things, it will produce a structural changes somewhere. So you will not have this clear picture of a simple astroseismology modes, what do you expect? So this moves us towards something that dissolves in the atmosphere and in the outer atmosphere.
But then this comes into relation to the detail.
What would be the effect of stellar winds on the moons?
But who?
Winds.
Yeah, no, I said.
What would be the effect? I don't know, so I just question.
If it's outside the, I mean, to spin up the.
Yeah, to change to what would be the effect on this visibility of the moon?
If this is due to winds, you would expect to have many stars like that, not only two. I mean, wind is something general. So why these two?
It's strong.
Why? Why? There is something external thing that triggers the speciality of these two stars.
What would be the energy, the position of such a mechanism? I mean, you have Jupiter or whatever, it's right.
But then you need, again, an object falling down.
No, yeah. So if you have that, what is the energy, the position of this process on the
engine?
And shouldn't you see some?
I have simply no idea
to
answer to that.
So actually, I looked a little bit in the literature, and there are many papers on these effects, and the overlooking of planets by red science. So I see quite an old paper, but by CS and Livio. Livio has done a lot of work on this. And there are two types of phenomena. It's heating of the envelope, and then some of the material can have a velocity which is higher than the escape velocity. So part of the energy goes in heating the envelope, and the part of the energy goes into angular momentum increasing. So then you have a two time scale, which is a drag time scale that explains how much angular momentum do you give to the gas, and also how the planet is break, and so how it goes towards the interior. So this time is a much larger at the for low density, so it's much larger. And, so they actually what they found in hand waving, in not hand waving, but order of magnitude studies, is that this could create a differential rotation, but the differential rotation will be stronger, or the rotation will be stronger at the bottom of the convective zone. Mm. So it's not what we say, and but I look a little bit at what they have done, I think there is something which is not correct.
Is the
alignment
unusual? When you
might
expect, if you've got something swallowed up, but it's going to do all sorts of weird and wonderful things to the excitation dampening events. Mm. I just wonder whether if you could look at similar stars and look at alignments and see whether the line weights are unusual or...
By eye, it doesn't look to the L equals zero.
I mean, I guess it's possible.
But they haven't done the fitting yet.
But telling it, I just made a time scale like 10 to 4, 30 years or less, right? That's what you'd expect with this kind of merger. Do you have a feel? Because basically I'm trying to figure out that we have a sample of about, what, 10 to the third cask giants, right, that you've looked at this, right? So, and you've seen two or three things, right? So if we're catching things in the act of merging, that implies the time scale is pretty long. Mm-hmm. It has to imply a pretty long time scale. I mean, one, you're lucky, but three.
I mean, you have two, and the third one, we know that there is something. I mean, there is probably a merger or something because the spectroscopy already said that there is weird things going on. So, for the third one, it's clear that it's something else. But for these two, we don't know yet.
Just we have to round off this interesting discussion. But just a remark: if I go through my genome's behavior, mm-hmm. you clearly introduced retrograde dipole modes, which are much more dominant than the other two components. So can't this just be what you're saying? You have mixed mode with the G mode dominant character?
But that's the thing we were...
Filter out the retrograde mode. That's what I would naively, even in constant rotation, would think. That's much simpler than swallowing.
No. I mean, no. This will never explain that you have an atmosphere going at 30% of the breakup velocity.
But let's say it's constant rotation throughout the interior.
Yeah, that's what we are saying. That the interior seems to be constant, but the problem is that you cannot explain by this thing what is going there. You cannot explain that why this star is spinning at 4 days when it should be experiencing something like 90. That's a problem. The interior seems
to be completely normal and
normal rotation.
Yes.
But the exterior, no. So how you create this object?
How do you speed up the exterior?
Yeah, okay, but that's another issue than saying I don't understand what happens to the L equal ones. That's another question.
Yeah, that's why I separate both. I mean, there are two questions that mixed. Yeah. In these two objects, but if not, they are completely separate. The L equal one thing is something to be with inertia, with the mixing character. That's clear. And then we have to explain why also in this sort of like star we have the normal L equal ones at high frequency and not at low frequency. And this is something to be probably with the mixing character once again. And you change the radio.
If you have a retrograde filtering and you see boron, you don't see it. It's a visibility.
No, because you cannot change the visibility.
No. And then why wouldn't you see the image of zero mass if that's...
Now, you cannot change the visibility from one order to another, unless your rotation axis is tilting inside there.
I mean, let's say you have an L equal one triplet.
Yes.
Right? Where the interaction between the rotation and the high order G modes will pump up the outer peak of the triplet, that has been predicted in main sequence stars, admittedly very different stars.
So this is,
and then
what kind of pump interaction? So is this resonant interaction?
That's the excitation of retrograde modes computed by Townsend.
So this is the heat and engine excitation of retrograde modes?
Yes. And then if you have then only one peak of the triplet and it's the component that you filter out by looking for
long,
then you get rid of
For all the L modes.
I know.
For all the same L and for all the N's, right?
Yes.
But this, then you have a trouble here because, of course, well, you have filtered out these L equal ones, But then you don't filter this one with this one.
No, 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 but if you go to higher frequency, this effect is much less.
Why?
Because it depends on the ratio of the rotation rate to the pulsation frequency.
Okay.
So I'm just.
No, no,
I think that this is very similar to something.
This is why it's good to have people from other. No, no, it's something to be with excitation, it's something to be with the character of mixing, no mixing, because they're L equal ones also. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly, and that one of the big points is it's clearly not related with rotation. That one, that was one of the statements that we.
So you should never give these two
statements
together.
No, not longer.
I'm confused.
Yeah, well, no, it's not confused. I mean, we have two.
That we have examples where it's mixed, but you also. Yeah. It's very important, of course, to find out whether some of these instigators are one versus.
Yeah, when I came here to the KTP, I thought they were related, and now going out from the KTP, I think they are not related. But it can change again.
So, what is time scale?
Well, it's like a G-mode time scale.
Yeah.